our boy, 95.70 Game Insider Anthony Slater, tweeted out that Warriors Draymond Green potentially facing internal discipline at their altercation with Jordan Poole. According to sources, practice had to be halted, according to this report by Anthony Slater, Marcus Thompson, and Sean Sharadia. So we had the man of the hour on. He's one of our favorites on the roast. He is a roaster, a day one, and he's an appointment radio, Anthony Slater. Anthony, good morning to you. I text you last night, say, hey, wake up in the morning. I know you're going to have a long night, but we need you on, and we're not talking Dolphins.
Oh, you
we're not
talking. Him?
Oh, yeah. He had to get Slater on. It's our guy. I wanted to talk Cleveland Guardians with him. I wanted to talk Dolphins with him.
Oklahoma State,
undefeated, beating Baylor last week. Right, Slater? Am I right about that?
First of all, this is a great time for all of my sports. Also, 81 and 81 for the Giants. I didn't know that. Ooh, that has to hurt even more.
Please don't. I don't need that in my life.
We checked out late August, dog. We checked out. It's football season and basketball season.
Yes, we'll be back in right field next year.
We're not bringing that up. Your report. All right. Let's start here because this is juicy. We had to take the full 20 minutes, 25 minutes with you here. All right. What happened? Explain to the masses what happened.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, all the details are still, like, trying to be sussed out, and the availabilities that are at least scheduled for today, or at least previously were scheduled for today, should bring some, more detail. But I guess I could look, practice opens yesterday. It's kind of a solemn mood in the gym. Jordan Poole is in the gym. He's on the other side of the hoop by himself shooting some, doing an individual workout, a couple other guys around the gym. The leaders of, the Andre Iguodala, Steph Curry, I saw Bob Myers over there on the other side of the gym, Steve Kerr. They were kind of like circled a little bit and were more curious about our presence as reporters in general. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. And then, obviously word kind of starts to filter out to us really a few hours after practice that like something had gone down. I don't know exactly what precipitated the argument, as we put in the story, like the, Jordan Poole and Draymond Green getting into it is not new. Draymond and a lot of guys getting into it's not new, especially in a practice setting. They were going live yesterday.
So it was 5-on-5?
It was like a controlled 5-on-5. They're actually scheduled for a big scrimmage today, uh-huh. But it was, I don't know the exact setting that this happened. I just know that this happened. They got chest to chest during an argument, and Draymond punched Jordan Poole, and that became the big issue that really the organization still right now is trying to like sift through the aftermath of. Mm.
So it was a punch.
Look, that's what it's kind of been described to me as. I don't punch to the face area. Swift hit. Yes. To answer your question.
Huh. And were there teammates in between them, or you said they were chest to chest? They had to separate them.
And practice stopped for how long? How long did you, about 30 minutes, 45? What was that like? And then what happened after practice? I saw Jordan Poole working out afterwards. What was that like? What was the time between where Steve Kerr stopped practice? How long was that?
I don't know exactly. I mean, it seems like that's when practice kind of ended for the day. And like they mm-hmm. kind of, you guys have been in that, gym where this kind of the weight room area mm-hmm. seemed like the action kind of was pulled over there, and then discussions were taking place. And again, this is something that was they weren't exactly trying to have to the outside world. At some point it's going to have to come out, obviously, especially with a disciplinary action likely to come. But it was like I said, you didn't know what happened, but it was like this is not like the music wasn't blaring, there wasn't like the typical vibe in the practice area. And you're like, something seems like it might have happened today.
Okay, so for all the years that you've been covering basketball at the NBA level, which is a long, long time, you are one of the deep-rooted guys when it comes to covering this team and just the NBA in general. How many actual physical altercations have you either heard of or seen at practices?
Oh, a few. And it's funny. Sometimes you hear about them after the season, like, man, we had a few things this season. Huh. I heard one in the aftermath that was like the early Durant years. That's kind of, probably more than we all know across the league. But the one thing I will say about this one is it's coming with a level of internal discipline. It sounds like that it can't be hidden. It crossed the line. Is basically so, what we've been getting messaged out from inside the team. It's like a line was crossed to the point that something needs to happen.
So we have 95.7 The Game Insider Anthony Slater on with this Warriors beat writer, best in the business. So what would that discipline look like? Are we talking regular season games, preseason games, fat fine? What do you think that discipline will look like for Draymond Green?
That is still kind of to be determined. It's pretty clear the leadership spent last night, probably spending today kind of sifting through that. You know, what is the proper punishment? What I would say suspension's on the table, but that certainly hasn't been decided. Steve Kerr is supposed to talk post-practice today. That should be an interesting availability. I don't know if Bob Myers is going to talk today or not. I'm trying to remember back to when they suspended him for the Draymond for the Kevin Durant situation in L.A. I believe that was it was a pregame, and I think Bob talked before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pregame he talked. Yeah, he did. Yeah, pregame
we
he talked
live
it in.
Yeah, 95.7 The Game.
He talked pregame, and then I remember Kevin Durant, of course, afterwards walked into the podium, and you know that was very, very interesting as well. So we'll see if Bob talks. Is Draymond going to talk, or I guess that next pod we'll just have to wait for that, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of. I mean, it's something I'm obviously curious about. Is just like his messaging, his what is his next availability? You know, and is it in front of the media? Is it on one of his podcasts? Platforms? And is it an accepting, like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that type of vibe, or is it a little bit defiant in this situation? And that in some ways may define where the season, at least the early portion of the season, is going. Just internally, is Draymond's response.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, you were talking about how things get out. We've seen certain reports, and again, I don't want to rip anyone's credibility. I'm asking you, when you hear that, hey, Jordan Poole's changed, he's different now because this extension is looming, and he's a different person coming in this year. Have you noticed that?
I mean, Jordan Poole, you guys know Jordan Poole. Like, Jordan Poole came into the building arguing with people.
Right.
came into the building thinking he was worth $100 million when he was shooting, 20% from three as a rookie. So, I mean, has he grown in confidence? Certainly. Part of that is because he's a fourth-year player that, like, scores 20 a game, like, super efficiently and just won an NBA title. I think what's under the surface of this all, and, we haven't really discussed this yet, and, I don't know if this was a I don't know what was at the heart of the exact argument, but under the surface of what's going on right now, is the contract situation. This is what we've been writing, going back to the summer, which is the fact that there's a collision course going on, and there's a front office and ownership that is basically pretty publicly, stated, like, there's a line, a luxury tax line that they can't go over. And then you just do simple math, which, trust me, all these guys' representatives understand the math and understand the Warriors, ethos that they're not going to go over this tax line, and understand somebody's got to go, essentially, or people got to take less money. Like, everybody's money is colliding with everybody else's money right now.
Right.
That's a good way of putting
and it. Yeah, and the eras are kind of staring each other down in a sense. They've been able to hold it together well. The win now, develop now plan that we talked about all last year, like, it worked. They won a title. They still kind of were developing the youth. But money's on the line now. I have no inclination that that's exactly what they were arguing about, but that is certainly sitting under the surface of this preseason. You wondered if it was going to boil over. They had been good with their messaging. I thought Draymond was good on media day, basically saying, look, I don't think I'm going to get anything. Poole kind of shoved it to the side, but then this happens, and you can say that it's been good for a week, but it's only been a week, and then this happens.
Anthony Slater, 95.7 The Game Insider here on The Roast. What do you think Steph thinks right now? Like, that's the million-dollar question. It's impossible for you to know.
$1 million.
But he's the leader of this team. I know everybody says, Draymond Green's the heart and soul, but Steph is the guy. Steph is the guy that makes this thing go. He's the face of the franchise. I just wonder how Steph feels about this, seeing a leader in Draymond Green resort to socking Jordan Poole in the face, or however, punching him, whatever you want to say. How do you think Steph feels about this, Anthony?
I mean, a level of frustration, I'm sure. And the fact that, he's kind of got to be the good leader again. I mean, he was part of whatever you want to call it, the leadership council that I saw, kind of circled in the locker room area when we got into the practice yesterday. I'm pretty sure he was probably making plenty of phone calls last night and figuring it out this morning. I mean, he's the one Remember when Draymond happened? He had to go to, like, I believe he went to both of their houses.
Yeah, I remember.
He was hurt at the time.
He was hurt.
That's why he missed the Clipper game.
But I remember he went to Draymond's house. I don't remember him going to KD's house, but you would know more than me. You're there.
Okay. I know he was on both sides of, like, trying to pull that back together.
Gotcha.
And I know he's going to be on both sides of you know, however a fence needs to be mended here. Whatever, you know, he's trying to help in that aftermath as much as possible. And, you know, he's trying to get ready for a season. He's staring at his team thinking they're probably, what, the favorites? I mean, it was slight favorites, but, like, this has the chance again to be a title team. And he, I'm sure, was not trying to deal with this a week in the camp.
Piggybacking off that Draymond, Kevin Durant situation, clearly when the organization disciplined Draymond, both Kevin Durant, Draymond, and who knows who else felt that the front office, the organization, didn't do right by anyone in that situation. How do they keep that from happening again? Or is that just inevitable that Draymond's going to be frustrated no matter what if he gets disciplined?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's part of what they're figuring out today. These are not simple things. This is why front offices are important. This is why they make a ton of money. They need to, you know, solve these contract situations, but also put out fires that happen within a season. This is also why they are fortunate to have a Steph Curry on the team and Andre Iguodala still in the building to basically serve as intermediaries, figure out what, you know, the locker room believes is appropriate action, what they believe, you know, and also, like, you know, have, I'm sure, you know, Steph and Andre being able to talk to Draymond in a situation like this, but there's probably not an easy answer. But they're going to have to give an answer at some point, and the timeline is sped up because, you know, basically we know something has happened and they're supposed to talk to the media later today, so. And at some point, questions will have to be answered.
You referenced the money colliding, whether it's Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, etc. Where's Wiggins and his impending free agency? How does that factor into all of this delicate balancing that they're doing right now?
I mean, it's within there. I mean, he for the right price, wants an extension also. He's not as, I don't know, I guess as forward of a personality where, I think he's not going to, you know, come out and, I mean, you guys know Andrew Wiggins, but at the same time, like he wants something to get done. And if it doesn't get done, I think there's a risk of losing him long-term. It's just, he doesn't feel like he's like Draymond is one of the flag bearers of, like, you know, the legends era essentially. Right. And Jordan Poole is kind of the flag bearer of, like, the, you know, next era. Mm. And that seems like it's a little bit more of a collision course than Wiggins, who, you know, he's unrestricted, but, you know, he just got here a couple of years ago, and he's, I don't know, Andrew Wiggins has had, like, two quotes in his life that
But don't you think Wiggins is more important than both, at least for the immediate future, than both Draymond and Jordan Poole?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think I think Wiggins' situation is that they're okay going to unrestricted free agency. You got Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga coming up behind him. He's also just, like, again, if we're talking about trying, I think one of the main things right now is trying to guide this season through smoothly while dealing with the contract situations. And while Wiggins, you know, future contract might be equally important, or, you know, you could argue just because of the position he plays, it's more important. He isn't as, like, you know, you can easily guide this season through with Wiggins in a more unsettled spot than the other two, it seems.
No doubt. Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game insider here in Amon Rose. You know, we brought up the fact that there's reports out there that Poole has been acting different and, you know, he wants to get paid and he's some sort of egomaniac. Like you said, he's come in from day one arguing, talking trash. But the guy's a worker, and it feels like he does love this culture. Even when the talk about him coming off the bench and starting, whether or not he was unhappy, that was all put aside in the postseason. Now, I remember Jordan Poole saying after game, the most important thing I've learned with this organization is winning, winning, and winning. So where do you stand with Jordan Poole when it comes to that? Obviously, he wants to get paid, but this perception of Jordan Poole not being a team guy and not wanting to come off the bench, isn't that a little fluff? Isn't that a little hot, just some smoke created by whoever wants to run with some sort of narrative?
I mean, yeah, it's the natural way of looking at just like the progression of a player. You know, I've referenced the pool situation being somewhat similar to the Reggie Jackson situation that I covered in Oklahoma City. That's when he had this great third year playoffs and then, you know, came back the fourth year and was like, look, I'm ready to start. He even said in media day, like, you know, Hall of Fame players don't come off the bench, and that's how I view myself. And I'm not like Jordan.
Did Reggie say that?
Had a quote. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Jordan Poole has never had a quote like that.
Right.
You know, I mean, look, do you think he wants to be a 26-year-old that's a backup guard? You know, I mean, he has ambitions in this league, and ambitions that I think have become very reasonable considering what he's become. And, you know, I mean, he's handled it well to this point, but he's also... I think these guys see what he's becoming in a good way. But like you saw it, I thought it was interesting in Japan when Clay wins the three-point contest and they clearly were really excited. Like, he went right to Jordan Poole afterwards because Jordan Poole had been talking a little junk beforehand. And then even said in the media session, like, man, it was great to humble Jordan Poole. There's a little of that. Now, it's felt very healthy. It's felt like healthy competition, you know, healthy situation where there's so much talent. Like, that's typically, you know, it's not a bad thing to just be, you know, pumping out talent. But this happens when you pump out talent. There's increased competition within a team for jobs. I mean, it's a cutthroat world. It really is.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not sitting here saying he's changed behavior or something like that. Jordan Poole's just been Jordan Poole to me the whole time. He's kind of been like this the whole time.
Right. You referenced the leadership council on the Warriors a couple of times now. Who's a part of that in terms of players or coaches? I don't know, you know, how you break that down. And how does Draymond get checked by someone higher than him or someone that he respects and will at least listen to? Because it feels like at times he's checking everybody and really nobody's checking him.
I mean, he listens to Steph Curry. He listens to Andre Iguodala. You know, I mean, like, he just... Bob Myers has long had a good communicative relationship. This is where Bob Myers is like probably at his best from a GM perspective, is like dealing with this type of stuff. So we'll see. Again, like I do not know how the conversations went last night or they're going this morning. But typically, I mean, look, they've gone through this over the years. This wasn't just one Durant situation. Remember the Steve Kerr situation in Oklahoma City?
Right. Yeah, the locker room at halftime, 2016. The Steph Curry double bang shot. Yeah, I'm not a robot. Right. And he went crazy. Lisa Salters. Yeah, no doubt. There's a lot of incidents here with Draymond. It's starting to add up.
Yeah, but, you know, again, if it's handled well enough internally where they believe they can move forward and then they're, you know, 7-1 after 8 games, I'm sure they'll all be like, oh, it was great. Great, like, you know, locker room type, you know, kept it alive. You know, we deal with that stuff. We'll see. I don't know. I do think today's availabilities matter. I think the early messaging from this is going to matter.
Slater, as we look into the situation, you talk about all the contracts and who's going to get paid, and you have the young guys in Kuminga and Moody and Wiseman. You get Steph Curry, who's 34. What happens with Clay in a couple years? Who knows? Is this the last dance? Is this the last dance? Does it have a last dance feel to this Warriors roster going into the season?
We'll see. I mean, that was always kind of like, as you looked at the contract situations and the tax bill, you kind of wondered that. I wouldn't say that's for sure, but this is, and if it is, this would be like, you know, if they made a documentary, this would be like one of those early camp things. Remember when you're watching The Last Dance and they're talking about like Pippen in camp? Mm-hmm. Like, this would be similar probably to the Draymond Durant situation, how that was kind of retold in that final season. But, you know, one thing I have learned is to never say the Warriors dynasty's dead.
Nah, no doubt.
I thought it was dead in 19. So,
What do you think if there is some sort of a punishment or whatever, I don't even know. Like, I'm not even sure what to expect here. Do you think there's a punishment? And if so, what would it look like?
Yeah, again, I'm... being discussed internally right now. I mean, certainly, you know, there's fines levied all the time, you know, by teams, you know, at their employees, I guess. I mentioned suspension. I have no idea. You know, I do not know if that's something that they would put on the table and decide upon, but it's got to be decided quickly. I just know that there has been discussion of some type of, like, there needs, like, something needs to happen for the incident that took place. I just, we'll see what that is. I mean, to me, all I can think of is fine and suspension, because that's just typically,
right,
like, the two avenues of punishment in sports.
Right. And you're not going to suspend him for ring night again.
I want to win back-to-back. Yeah, it's not going to.
So this is probably going to be a thing all season long, Anthony. We're going to look at every interaction between JP and Draymond Green the rest of the season. On the floor, on the bench.
And we'll go backwards.
We'll go backwards. we'll be talking about it. Hopefully it doesn't hijack the season. But, boy, things just got really interesting down in Warriors land.
Can't wait to hear them.
Yeah, go Guardians.
We'll be pulling for you.
Yeah, and go Dolphins until December 4th. Till December 4th. Yeah, there it is. Hopefully you got some good tickets for that Dolphins game. We'll all meet up and say hi and hang out then.
Teddy Bridgewater.
There it is. Anthony, you're the man. Hey, I know you had a late
stuff,
night,
Anthony.
Man.
And sorry we peppered you.
Yep.
You know, like, you were on trial. I appreciate it. You're the one with the most knowledge, and we respect it. So thank you for coming on, man.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it.